The Anteater, the settlement, forest near Pemberton, southwest Western Australia. The group were getting ready to go on a wrecking when Arika's changing started. Nara heard the strangled choke in Arika's throat and spun around. Arika was laying on the floor of the hut, her limbs tense. Her green eyes turned up in her head and then closed. Nara gulped. His mouth was dry and his heart was racing as he watched his twin sister turn pale and shiver like rippling water. Her little face looked very fragile under her black shoulder-length hair. The water lily drawn in dots of white clay paint that curved around her left eye from forehead to cheekbone, twisted and jumped. Nara had painted the lily on his sister's face with his fingers just yesterday. But how long ago that seemed now. "It started," Manya, the twins' foster mother, said. "It is time." Manya had taken care of the twins ever since they had become orphans at 5 years old. Was Arika leaving him now? Nara never wanted to feel alone, like he had when their parents died. It had been raining that day, and the forest was dark. He could still smell the strong eucalyptus scent rising off the huge carry trees that stood like crying gods, dripping tears on the little lost humans far below. He and Arika used to think of the giant trees as forest deities. It was impossible not to, having grown up under their trunks, squinting into the sun every day to try and see their waving tops tickling the sky. But if they were gods, Nara thought, then they were just as cruel and indifferent as any others he had heard about in Munya's stories and in the settlement's few books she had used to teach the twins to read. Nara glanced at Munya's wrinkled face and then back at Arika. Yes, it was time. Arika was 13. "Soon it will be your turn," Manya said to him. "But not yet." Nara stared down at Arika's face, normally so like his own, but now a set mask twisted by occasional spasms. Each time the nerves under Arika's skin flickered, Nara felt a chill run through him. Arika shuddered a little, and Nara jumped. Was she in pain? What was she feeling? Did she know he was there? Up until a few moments before, Arika had been standing normally, and Nara had been in touch with her feelings as he always had. The twins had shared their lives like that, from a distance, for as long as they could remember. They called it the path. It was like a road that linked them. They could walk along it, meet, and then sense each other's precise thoughts as if they were standing together. They used the path for their most secret and personal things. Now, the changing had separated them. Since the Great Madness, it happened to everyone they knew who reached their teens. It seemed to wait inside them until then. The twins had desperately wanted to understand the changing and find the truth about the Great Madness before their time ran out. And now it had. For months, the twins had talked about it, and Nara had sensed Arika's fear while she had sensed his. They had known that girls entered the changing earlier than boys, and that meant they couldn't experience it together. Now, Nara could feel nothing of what Arika was going through. The path had not given any warning that Arika was about to go into her changing right at that moment. And now the path was closed. The separation scared Nara more than he could have expected. The simple wooden hut and the life the twins had always known now seemed very small. A kookaburra's cackling laugh broke out nearby. Nara glanced out the window. The chunky brown bird was sitting out there somewhere among the endless trees. The kookaburra always sounded jolly, and Arika used to love watching the family building its nest and the chicks growing up. But the kookaburra laughed just as loudly while it broke the backs of the snakes it ate. Nara looked at Arika and shivered as her skin flickered again. Arika, can you hear me? It's no good, Nara. She's passing through the Changeland. There's nothing anyone can do until she comes out of it. Nara shook as another spasm went through Arika's body, and sweat broke out on her forehead. It hurt him to see her like this. Let's move her to the bed, Manya said. Nara realized with a start that he'd been too shocked by the start of her changing to think of helping Arika before. They carried Arika to her bed in the other room and laid her down. Now leave her. I know it's hard for you, Nara, but I will take care of her. No other young one should watch the changing take place. It scares and upsets them too much. I'm not scared for myself. I'm scared for Arika. Where is she now? What's she going through in the Changeland? The Changeland. A thick white cloud surrounded Arika. She turned around, looking, but there was nothing apart from the cloud. This must be the Changeland. Arika had the sensation of standing on the ground, but she couldn't see it. She took some deep breaths and reached out to Nara with her mind, but the path was closed. A stab of panic ran through her. Arika had lived her whole life in contact with Nara, and now the Changeland had separated them. The white cloud grew thinner in front of Arika's eyes. She looked down. She could see her own body clearly now, and the same short pants, green shirt, and rope sandals she had been wearing. Arika had helped fine spin the wool for these clothes and prepare the dyes for the colors last year. She put a hand to her throat. Her string necklace with the painted wooden gecko was still there. So, she was dressed exactly the same as she had been back in the settlement. But where was she? In front of her, the cloud grew still thinner. Arika saw huge, gleaming structures that towered up way above her head. People were going in and out of them. Buildings. She'd never seen any so tall. How could people live in such high places like birds? The whole scene was silent. The metal and plastic shone brightly, but the sky had a dirty grey tinge, and the air made her cough. It tasted of smoke, metal, and oil. So different from the world she knew, where buildings and machines were old and run down, but the air was clean, and the sky was clear. As Arika watched, further details became apparent. Between the tall structures ran a wide grey road on which shiny cars raced up and down. Arika made to jump out of the way of them. How fast they were! She had only known cars as rusting heaps of metal. What is this place? Arika looked around her. Then she saw a sign on a tall metal pole. It said, City of Perth. Perth? The youngest ones from the settlement were forbidden to go there. Manya said it was a place of collapsed, burnt-out buildings, overgrown with plants. The city people lived there, surrounded by the ghosts of those who died in the Great Madness. And the ghosts of all the machines they used to have back then. Arika wasn't sure what those machines were. But how could they have ghosts? Nara was intrigued by these stories and wanted to find out if they were true. Arika found it all very creepy. Still, the Perth she had heard about was nothing like this. Here, everything was new and shiny. If only Nara were here. Arika walked on, the roaring sound of the cars and the constant hum of the city getting louder with each step. Arika covered her ears as the noise grew and grew. After a while, she took her hands away from her ears but the noise was so loud she wanted to cover them again. She resisted and soon got used to the snarl of the cars. Arika saw the people on the streets walk by as if they didn't notice it. Did they really live like this? And how clean and new their clothes looked, their hair, their skin. In the settlement, survival was everything. Here, it looked as if survival was so easy that everyone could concentrate on their appearance. These people passing her on the street couldn't see her, Arika realized. They paid a lot of attention to their computers and phones, though, talking, tapping on them, staring at them. These objects were not allowed in the settlement. The wreckers smashed them whenever they were found. Here in the Changeland, she was somehow seeing the city as it was in the past, before she was born. There had been no great madness in this place. Not yet. How can that be? And all these huge buildings that surrounded her, taller than the great trees in the forest around the settlement. Arika stretched her neck back to try and see the top of the tallest building. The sun beat down from the wide blue sky and gleamed on the shiny sides of the towering structures. Her eyes watered due to the sunlight, and she lowered her head, blinking. She brushed her eyes with the back of her hand. When she looked up again, a big white car was heading straight for her. Arika jumped quickly to one side, and the car flashed past. Arika tried to tell herself this was all inside her mind. Her body was lying in a coma in the hut at the settlement. Then another part of her said that the sound of these cars was very loud, and this hard grey ground was very solid under her feet. Her racing heartbeat and breathing were very real. Arika saw something move out of the corner of her eye. She turned and then jumped in surprise. At the street corner stood an echidna. She saw its rounded back covered with spikes, its pointed snout and stubby legs. A spiny anteater? Here? She was used to seeing echidnas near the settlement, but what was this one doing in the city? She watched it as it moved around the corner and disappeared. This was a creature from her world, Arika told herself. Maybe it would guide her out of here. She ran to the end of the street, dodging the people. The echidna was gone. Arika caught her breath and looked around quickly. She saw the echidna's snout poking out from behind the building on the opposite corner. It was watching her and waiting. Arika dashed across the road, narrowly avoiding the cars. The echidna was far ahead now. How could it move so fast? Arika wondered as she ran towards it. They were normally very slow. She noticed that the sky was getting dark, as if twilight were approaching. The echidna turned left at the end of the block. Arika ran on. The number of people on the streets grew smaller all the time, until she was alone. The light in the sky was close to the dusk of evening. There were no lights in the buildings, and the street lamps were dead. Waste paper and other rubbish lay all over the pavement. A sheet of newspaper blew past her, rattling in the wind. Arika looked behind her. Just the same back there. Everything had changed. The city that had been so alive before was now dead. A cold shiver ran through her. What to do now? The echidna had vanished, but she could still try to head in the direction it had been following. Arika walked on. The twilight and the silence closed in around her. At the next intersection, Arika saw lights off to the right. There was some noise as well. She walked that way, feeling a glow of excitement. Perhaps she wasn't completely alone here after all. Tall buildings lined the street all the way along. Not new and shiny as before, but dirty and stained with bird droppings. Many of the windows were broken. Some doors hung on their hinges as if they had been smashed open. These were the same kind of buildings as before, but now there were no people, and everything was run down. The new, perfect city of Perth no longer existed. Not here. Arika turned around. Everything behind her was just the same now. Dirt, rubbish, decay. A flock of small birds flashed into view, and her heart jumped. Arika walked on and took the first turning she found. Dogs were barking in the distance. A pack of them, chasing something, Arika thought. She went on more quickly. Eventually, the street opened in a wide square. A horrible smell leapt at her. Various fires were burning in metal drums all over the square. There were people standing around the fires, their outlines flickering like shadows. In the dim light, Arika could see that the buildings and cars were all broken and filthy. And that smell! A man moved away from one of the fires and came towards her. He was carrying something in one hand. The shadows swallowed him for a few seconds. Arika waited, her heart pounding. Who was he, and what did he want? When the man stepped into the light of another fire, Arika screamed. His face was twisted with madness and hate, and stained with blood around the mouth. A feral. The man lifted up his other hand, and Arika screamed again. He was holding a human foot, dripping blood. Now she could see other ferals, male and female, lumbering around by the fires, cooking bits of human bodies. Arika wanted to run, but she felt frozen to the spot. The feral stepped closer. Arika forced herself to turn and then ran back the way she had come. More ferals. She turned down another street, crashing into a lamppost with her knee. Pain shot down her leg, but she ran on. The ferals chasing her were slower than she was, but more of them appeared from a side street. Arika kept racing through the twilight, not knowing where she was going, but just away from that horror. The sound of pounding feet behind her grew fainter, and Arika slowed to a walk. Her breath was coming in gasps, and her eyes stung. She realized that she must have been screaming and crying while she ran. She felt her feet slide on the ground and saw orange dust rise up. Arika looked down. The ground was no longer the hard grey stuff of the city streets, but this dirt. She saw some tall shapes in the fading light. Arika had never seen anything like them. They were twice her height, reddish colour and wedge-shaped. There were no more city buildings either. Only those wedge-like structures and scraggly trees as far as she could see. Arika looked back. The shapes were behind her as well. How had she got past without noticing them? It was all so strange. And where was the city now? This is the Changeland. Probably nothing makes sense here. Or maybe it does, but with its own rules. She felt cold panic creep over her, but fought to stay calm. I just need to learn the rules. Like, what are these tall shapes? There must be some reason why they are here in the Changeland. Arika walked up to one of the towers. It was not regular and smooth, but rough, and tapering at the top. She put out her hand. It was made of tightly packed earth. She could feel the grittiness. New towers seemed to spring up out of the ground. When she moved around one, there was always another, like they were blocking her in. There was no way through them. Arika placed her hands against one and pushed as hard as she could, trying to break through, gasping with the effort until her body ached. But it was no good. She collapsed on the ground, exhausted, sobbing again. She wished that Nara could sense her thoughts, but she was totally alone. Arika tried to get her breath back and think clearly. She stopped sobbing and sat up. Arika heard a scratching sound, like an animal digging with its claws. She shivered and looked around. For a moment, she saw the echidna again, and then it disappeared. Damn echidna, it's your fault I'm in this mess. Her mind raced as she tried to understand all that she had just seen. Somehow, the echidna had led her into another time period, out of the shiny city of the past and into the time of the great madness. And now, it had brought her into a completely different place. I just have to get out of here. You can't leave, Arika, a man's voice said. You followed me in here. Arika jumped up. Who are you? How do you know my name? She couldn't see anyone. He must be hiding behind one of those towers. It was getting dark now and difficult to see. Where am I? Arika asked, unable to keep her voice from trembling. In your changeland. The voice came from a different place. Trapped in my memories of just before and after the great madness. That was before I was born. It was like that? Yes. Arika's mind ran ahead. So everything I've seen in here is someone else's memories? And I'm walking through them? She shuddered. Oh, I enjoyed the days of the madness. Nowadays, fresh human flesh is so very hard to find, the voice said. Shame, shame. Arika choked with disgust and horror, thinking of the ferals she had just seen. She ran to the nearest tower and hammered on it in desperation, trying to find a way out, while the voice laughed. Don't be afraid, Arika. You're quite safe here. Until the sun sets. Completely. She flashed a glance at the dimming light on the horizon. Till the sun sets, she said. Then you'll stay here with me. Never! You won't have any choice. You followed me into my world. So, sit still until sunset. Arika tried to think. This mysterious being knew her name. His voice seemed to come from a different direction every time he spoke. And why couldn't he do anything until the sun set? Time was different in the Changeland, it seemed. But the amount of time she stayed in this creature's world must be important somehow. The longer she stayed, the more dangerous for her. The setting sun was a measure of the Changeland time that had passed. But what could really happen to her in there? All this was just in her own mind. Wasn't it? Feel that bruise on your knee, Arika. Can he read my thoughts? What bruise? She said. You know the one I mean. Arika tested with her fingers. The pain in her knee had almost completely gone, but when she touched the sore point, it shot out like a burning needle. She gasped. You see, pain hurts in the Changeland.
You mean I can be injured or die in here?
Just wait until the sun sets.
Icy sweat broke out all over Arika's body.
What are you? Who are you?
The Anteater.
Is that your name?
Arika could hear the tremor in her voice. She tried hard not to panic.
That is my name in here. It has meaning. Just like your name, Arika, means water lily. And your twin brother Nara's means sea.
Arika shivered. The voice was not loud, but it made her skin crawl. She decided to try and keep him talking. A chance might come to escape somehow.
But are you a human being? Or what are you?
She thought of the echidna and all the other odd things she had seen.
Ah! Curiosity. Here in the Changeland, I live amongst these towers, termite mounds, full of millions of flying ants.
thousands of little packets of life consumed to keep the one life of the anteater going. Wherever they hide, he gets them. Thousands of deaths for one life. That creature that feeds on life is me, the anteater. A long slurping sound came from behind the tower next to her. Arika shuddered and wanted to scream, but tried to hold her fear down. Something told her she was safer if she did not show fear. She glanced at the sun. Eventually, it would set completely. And then...
You've gone quiet, Arika.
Arika gulped. Panic was rising inside her, throttling her breath, her thoughts. Her stomach lurched and terror lanced through her. She forced herself to think. The sun dipped below the horizon. Its soft red light remained. But not for long, she knew.
It's almost time, Arika. I've enjoyed talking to you, helping you to know me. Most of the time, I never get to know the ants.
What?
Arika heard her voice sound tiny and choked with fear.
Ants give out a particular smell when they die. Other ants can sense it and keep away from the smell of death. The anteater is too clever, though. Whenever he eats an ant, he lifts his head out of the way. The ants don't smell the death. They never even know the anteater is there.
But I do now.
Yes, you do.
Arika concentrated her mind. Somewhere she could feel Nara's presence. Was he in the Changeland as well now? She called out to him with her mind.
Nara!